We are Michael Veazey in London, England,
and Jason Miles in Seattle, Washington.
More importantly, you are the owner of a thriving online business and you want to become the best e-commerce leader you can be. We're here to get you there. For show notes with links and resources mentioned today, and for other GC resources like downloads, just visit our blog, theecommerceleader.com.
COVID has accelerated the shift from local retail to e-commerce at an absolutely incredible pace. So how can local retailers that depend on tourism, foot traffic, and Main Street or downtown selling experiences pivot to e-commerce selling as their primary channel? In this episode, we're going to discuss that important topic. Michael, are you ready to dive into this today and talk about retail to e-commerce strategies?
Absolutely. And kind of amazing that we haven't discussed it before, really, because it's such a big topic of 2020, really.
I think we probably should have in March or April at this point. Looking back, you know, who knew COVID was going to be this stranglehold on local retailing for such a long time, but we are where we're at. And I think what really prompted my thinking on this was I listened to an episode of How I Built This with Guy Raz. His podcast is great. He interviewed the president of a really famous Portland bookstore called Powell's. It's one of the largest bookstores, independent bookstores in the world, and it's here in the Pacific Northwest. And so he was talking to the president. She's sure third generation owner, and just listening to her unpack the basically carnage of COVID. Just it was really just a rapid onset emergency, really, I guess you could call it in development terms. She literally had to shut down middle of the day at one point, just when they realized what COVID was and was doing. They literally closed the doors halfway through a sales day. And so I thought, you know, as I listened to that, man, there are lessons to be learned for local retailers who are scrambling or in the same situation as she was. And so that's the impetus for this conversation, I guess. What's your thought in terms of what's going on in London as it relates to local retailers and how they're pivoting successfully or maybe not successfully right now to the e-commerce selling venues?
Well, that's a very interesting question because I see two sides of the equation, but I don't see the pivot so easily in my world. And maybe that's the missing piece that I'm not got visibility on, but it's possible also that it's the piece that's not happening fast enough. So I see two sides. Obviously, on the one side, I see the 10K Collective members and other people that I'm in groups with, some really seriously power sellers doing up to eight figures in some cases. And you've met some of those guys and, you know, they know what they're doing and they're really deep into e-commerce. On the other hand, I've seen in London, probably one of the worst hit cities in the developing world. I guess like New York was hit really, really hard, but London, like New York, is a very densely packed place. It's in Europe, so that's a densely packed place. So it's been a sort of double whammy, and it's been a year of suffering for a lot, quite some famous names. Debenhams, the Arcadia Group, owned by Philip Green, a billionaire here, famously went into bankruptcy about 2-3 weeks ago, as we're talking mid-December now and in 2020. So it's really having a very unsubtle effect on the high street. So the pivot thing is the piece that I see more rarely, and I think that's really the critical opportunity. Yeah. So yeah, interesting.
No, it's the same here. My wife and daughter and I went to downtown Seattle. We live about 30 minutes outside Seattle. So we went to downtown Seattle maybe a month ago, and it was just a boarded up ghost town. Now, we've been sort of hit with this double whammy of really this shift to a lot of homelessness in Seattle and city government policies that basically allow for people to just be arrested and immediately released. And the downtown corridor has been massively impacted by that alone. I mean, completely apart from COVID. And then you put COVID on top of that, and it really has been a recipe for just absolute carnage. I mean, it was a ghost town compared to what Seattle downtown usually looks like. And we were just shocked. I mean, just literally shocked by how dramatically, you know, an 8-month, 10-month period could decimate a downtown area and all those retailers. And honestly, I just, heart goes out to them. I mean, I sit there and think, man, but for the grace of God, and there go we. I mean, we could be in that situation as well. Fortunately, we're in the e-commerce space and just a different business context, but a lot of good people who were business and entrepreneurial thinkers who are working hard to serve those kind of local downtown areas that have been impacted. So anyway, all that to say, I think worldwide this is happening. And there are, I'd imagine, a lot of local retailers thinking, how do I do this e-commerce thing? You know,
two thoughts. One very simple one is, it's not over yet. This is recorded in December. I think going into January, certainly February, probably March, maybe Britain is going to be suffering under the cosh of COVID, as it were. And the vaccine is getting rolled out here very early. I think it was one of the first places to approve it, if not the first, apart from Russia, where it might be a bit more dodgy. But, you know, it's going to take a while to get out. I mean, it's a logistical exercise. And those of us in e-commerce know that it's hard enough to get 1,000 plastic widgets from China into Amazon and onto the consumers, never mind 120 million doses in the UK and even bigger in the US. So I think this is going to be a medium term, very, very acute need. And I think it's going to be longer term, a big trend as well. The high street's not going to just spring back to life. So that's on the need side. The other side, I think it's really important, and we need to get into this, but the pivoting from one to the other is the key thing that I've not seen enough. So I think it's a very needed conversation. So let's get into it. I think you've got a few keys for local sellers to shift. So give us your keys.
Yeah, absolutely do. And you know, I just want to preface these by saying I've tried to just work through these as a positive, doable list of short-term thoughts and ideas. It's no fun to rub salt in people's wound, and we certainly don't want to do that. You know, I mean, but as I listened to that podcast with the owner of Powell's Books, she just kept saying sentences that I thought, she should have worked this out 10 years ago. This should have been handled by them differently. And just in their context, they said that basically in the prior, you know, selling years, e-commerce represents about 20% of their total revenue. And 80% of it was, in essence, effectively vaporized. The local selling was vaporized when COVID hit. And so their entire infrastructure then hinged on the revenue stream of e-commerce selling. And so that was just an interesting mathematical look at it. And but to, you know, to my prior point, there's no good outcome in terms of just second guessing yourself. If you're in this situation right now, there are positive, constructive steps to take. And regardless of what you did or didn't do in the past, what you did or didn't want to do, or choices you may have made differently, it doesn't matter. Today's day one for your online selling venture. And you can do this. I mean, I think that's my first sentiment, is you can totally do this. So I haven't mentioned four keys yet. I wanted to mention the keys, but I just wanted to preface it by saying this can be day one and you can move forward positively and successfully. That's sort of my overriding sentiment I want to bring to the party. And you don't make fun of me for being so optimistic, but you always point out when I'm optimistic. So I just want to bring optimism to this situation, I guess, for people.
Yeah, I agree. But even as the cynical Brit, look, there's huge demand online. So it's a much, much easier game. I think you might be shocked by how much easier it is to make a profit online than it is in a physical space. I mean, yes, you'll be shocked by the culture shock of doing it in a different way. But once you got through that, on the other side of it is some pretty major wins. So I would agree with that, actually. For once, I'm going to be the positive guy as well.
Hey, all right, good. All right, we're on the positive, hopeful page together. Okay, well, let's get into the keys then. So the first key that I want to share with people that are, again, local retailers who are trying to figure out e-commerce is any data that you have, your email list or email addresses that you might have that aren't really organized, any social media following, any digital data that you have that you can leverage is really your first bridge to successful e-commerce selling. And this is true for large sellers and small sellers, that email marketing is the original and best form of online selling. And if you're sitting in a local store and maybe you've got, you know, a POS system or something that gives you access to thousands and thousands of email addresses, but you've never leveraged those or tapped into them, you're sitting on a goldmine. You're sitting on your solution. And so I would just encourage you to audit what you have. And I don't care if it's even on paper. You know, maybe you've done in-store contests or, you know, giveaways or something. You've got old notebooks or old pieces of paper with people's email addresses on them. That is sitting on gold. And so that would be my first suggestion, is audit what you've got for digital engagement and figure out how to lean into those tools as your first bridge to reaching out and communicating to your prospective customers or current customers via online methods. Thoughts on that?
Absolutely great thoughts. And you know what strikes me is this e-commerce. Let's not get too confused about how big the e-bit needs to be. I mean, if you have email, that killer app for the 90s, as you say, Guess what? If you're starting off and you have really is local business rather than a big sort of national level business, you could literally just email people, take orders via email, package stuff up in your shop and go to the post office. You're still allowed to go to the post office for work, as far as I know. It depends on where you are, or get UPS to pick it up, or you can figure that out easily. You don't need a website even. I mean, it's probably advantageous to have one, but honestly, email, as you say, I think that what the old school marketers say is the money's in the list. If you've got a list of not just prospects, but thousands of customers, as you say, I think you have a huge advantage. And really, it's so huge that I think it trumps having a website. They've already bought from you. They already know you. They may know you by person. You may even put them up, pick up on the phone and speak to them. I think we should make this as untechnical as possible. Yeah. And what you have is an existing strong relationship, which is the hardest thing to get. And the thing that the rest of us are fighting incredibly hard who start from the on e-commerce side.
I've never thought of it that way before, but dude, you seriously could just get your email list into, I would suggest, MailChimp as a tool. It's free for lists up to 2,000 names. And you could use ShipStation or Shipping Easy as your tool to do the shipping and just sell direct through your newsletters. You absolutely could do that. You could be doing that today.
You could be. And here's the other thing that strikes me. Like, people always talk about buying websites or buying businesses. I've seriously contemplated, I may yet do it, buying a related business slash website. And the only asset I'm really interested in is the email list. Actually, I would buy a business that had no revenue, as long as it had like a really engaged email list of 10,000 people, I'd buy it today. The only reason I haven't is because I can't find one in close enough related to my industry because it's too niche. Yeah. But I swear, the money's in the list. It's not the website. My website's there primarily to collect emails, and that's it. What I care about is the emails. The thing that drives the revenue is the podcast and the emails. I'm not suggesting you start a podcast, but yes, it's really not necessarily about the website. I mean, in your case, you've got your wonderful website at Pixie Fair that really does drive revenue. That's different, but that doesn't have to be the starting point. So yeah, what I suppose what I'm saying is be incredibly simple about the tech and recognize where the value is. It's in the relationship to the people.
Absolutely right. Yeah, that's so well said. The value is in the relationship with the people. And you're just moving it from a local in-store, in-shop conversation to the digital media of newsletters and email marketing. And it's, you know, it's totally doable. You just translate it. And we've got, you know, resources for this kind of topic. I've got a book on email marketing that's 49 email marketing principles. That's a $2 book. So there's tons of resource there. I will also just say that the thinking behind this first key is important, which is you're still in charge of your communication when you go to e-commerce. There is no marketplace that will do the marketing for you effectively enough to make you happy. You have to keep control of contact and conversation with your prospects and your current customers, and email marketing allows you to do that. So it would be an error of thinking to just say jump into Amazon or jump into Etsy or jump into eBay and then think, well, I'll just ride the waves of, you know, success there on those marketplaces and let them do the communicating. It's better to data mine, get what you've got in terms of your own list, to put it together and use that to drive conversation and engagement with folks. Yeah.
You're going to have a great deal more engagement and probably less price resistance, high conversion rates, and lots of good things with your own list. I would say it doesn't have to be either or. I would suggest that you can go onto Amazon. I would probably get a bit of training or professional help to do that. If you have a substantial size business, honestly, I would hire somebody to do it for you, because they're going to just, you can focus on what you're good at and focus on the email list, I think. But yeah, either which way, yeah, your email list is a huge asset. Okay, so that's definitely a very positive starting point. What's the second key?
Yeah, I mean, you kind of just mentioned it there a bit, which is it's not either or. You can be on the marketplaces. And my second key here is that marketplaces can be a second bridge to online selling. And they absolutely are a fast path to get in front of tons of new customers. And so there's no reason to not leverage marketplaces. And so the marketplace that's right for you depends on what you do and what you sell, type thing. Obviously, everyone knows about Amazon. Many local retailers have pitted themselves against Amazon in their minds. And I think that might be the mental game of this might be the biggest barrier, is to say, okay, wait, you know, this feels like, you know, whatever the metaphor is. I mean, you know, collaborating out with the enemy. Yeah. Selling out, whatever. But Amazon is absolutely a place to, you know, get in front of the world. But there are other sites that are coming on strong as well. Etsy is really effective for all of the home goods, handmade type things, but you can sell in quantity sourced products on Etsy now. It's not just for handmade goods anymore. And it's a massive marketplace. eBay is still, of course, there with buy it now pricing and or auctions, which might be an interesting angle. And then there are a whole host of apps that will serve local sellers as well. You know, things like OfferUp, Poshmark, Mercari, even Craigslist, Facebook Marketplace. There are so many channels now. There's really been a channel revolution in the last 5 years. Shopify, of course, is the website that we would suggest you ultimately build your home, you know, your home website on. But the choices are really, really dramatically available to us, and it can be to the point of overwhelm, and that wouldn't be healthy. But I would figure out what might be the best one and just invest into it deeply and realize it's a bridge. It's a bridge. And when I listened to that podcast yesterday with the Powell's president, they, in the middle of their drama over COVID and shutting down and laying off people, they decided Amazon wasn't a good place for them to be selling anymore, if I heard the conversation right. And I was like, oh my gosh. Like, first of all, I was just thinking, man, not the time to reorganize your e-commerce. I'm not trying to, you know, do a armchair quarterback or backseat driving, but it's not the time to reorganize your e-commerce strategy when they're in the middle of a fight for your life, I wouldn't think. And if Amazon is a bridge to a larger personal selling system on your own site, then you treat it that way. Stay on the bridge. Use it, you know, for as long as you need it, and don't, for philosophical or what you might call emotional argument reason, you know, flip them the bird and say, see you later, goodbye. I don't want to have any part of Amazon. Now's not the time to do that.
Yeah. You know, I agree. It's time for pragmatism, I guess, isn't it? And yes. Idealism probably maybe a bit later when you've shored up some of your, you know, yeah. You can afford to meet payroll this month and that sort of thing. Yeah, I really like the way you positioned it. So in other words, email's your starting point. Marketplace is, I guess, part of the journey, but it doesn't have to be where you end up. And that makes sense. And I guess with your background in building your own store, you're much more geared to owning the system, if you like, than I naturally have been on Amazon. But lots of people who started on Amazon are working towards building their own system. And again, equally, I guess there's no reason to wait forever to do that, right? I mean, I guess it's a question of where you're at, depending when you need to move. I guess that my next question on the back of that, without getting too much down a rabbit hole, would be, how soon do you think it's necessary or desirable to build your own website, assuming that you're coming from scratch and you have like a very basic website that doesn't really sell? It's not really an online marketplace or an online shop.
It's an interesting way you framed it there, where if you come from Amazon selling as your first marketplace or first effort in retailing in general, is online or offline, then you do sort of see that as the originator of traffic in many ways for your existence. I never started that way. That was never my experience. So my experience, I think, is maybe more similar to a local retailer, where it's like, look, we have to figure this out ourselves. We're responsible for our own traffic. We have to build our own, you know, direct to consumer strategies. And I'll never forget being at, you know, in September 2009, we had 125 people on our list. And that's a humbling place to start. I looked yesterday and it's 269,000 people in our MailChimp account right now. And it's a big bill at this point. Like, holy smokes. But you get there by saying, I'm in charge of the process. I have to figure this out. And to answer your specific question, I think that the faster you can get a direct-to-consumer experience going through your own Shopify site, the happier you'll be long-term. I mean, it's planting an oak tree seedling, basically. And that's the way you kind of have to look at it, is when do you want to plant, you know, a good shade tree? You know, it's either today or it was 20 years ago, but the answer is not tomorrow. And so, you know, I think that's the solution in to the situation, is get your own direct-to-consumer site on Shopify, get traffic and energy and momentum, enthusiasm for it, and you'll be happy that you did going forward.
Interesting. So I guess there's that awkward balancing thing where you're trying to pivot everything online, you're learning about email marketing, which is not an inconsiderable art form. I mean, there's money in the list, but you have to know how to do it. And then you're going on to Etsy or maybe eBay or maybe even Amazon, and then you're building a site. So I guess it's just a lot of juggling.
Let me just respond to that lot of juggling, though. I would just challenge listeners who are local retailers, you guys juggle a lot in your own context too, from staffing to downtown, you know, permitting and policies and tax issues and, you know, your facility. There's a ton of juggling in, you know, local retail. And I think a lot of times we'll do one of two things in our minds. We'll either do the grass is always greener on the other side fallacy, or we'll do the monster on the other side, you know, is insurmountable fallacy. It's like we over-demonize this, you know, mystery area, or we over-glorify it. And the truth is, being an e-commerce seller at scale is a yeoman's work, trade skill, show up and do the right stuff and you get the right outcomes type experience. And the plumbing of it digitally and the tools, all that might be a mystery, but honestly, it's all so learnable. And it is becoming easier and easier to implement every 6 months, every year that goes by, the tools become simpler. So just to your point, like there is a lot of juggling for e-commerce for sure. But that's not to say that the entrepreneurs that are local entrepreneurs haven't been doing all that kind of stuff themselves in their own right. And I think there's a lot of over paranoia over the, you know, the mysteries related to e-commerce that don't have to be there. Once you get into it, you realize, oh, this was not that big a deal. I learned harder things in my life.
Yeah.
So anyway.
I think you're right. I guess it's a familiarity question, right? If I had to start a local store, I was having a haircut the other day, not this particular barnet that you see before you, but if you're watching, and the hairdresser was loudly shouting at the back of my head through a visor, all the costs he has. And he has like tens of thousands of dollars a year in local rates and stuff that you don't get online yet.
Yeah.
And also, yeah, the premises are digital, which means that you can't physically see them, which is something to get your head around. But you don't have to get contractors to turn up. If there's COVID, it doesn't really affect it. Mm-hmm. It's a lot simpler. It's less physically existence. Therefore, it doesn't take as long to make, not as expensive. You don't have to lug bricks across London or Seattle. So yeah, I would say once you get used to the culture shock, it's true that it's probably a lot less complex. And it's a very, very good point mm-hmm. about the amount of work that people are already used to doing. Hey there, thank you so much for listening to today's podcast. A bit of a different theme, local businesses pivoting to e-commerce. A lot of the basics are going to be the same as anything else, but it's a very particular situation. And if you are a local business owner or indeed any kind of offline business owner or primarily offline, I really, really hope that this will help you either to continue or intensify your journey into e-commerce or to get started with it. It really is a very doable thing. And I think that message from Jason came across loud and clear. The main things we talked about today is, I guess, that thing that it is very, very doable. Yes, it is horrible what's been happening in the high street and probably is happening at this time that you're listening, depending when you're listening to this in 2021. But it is really an opportunity in disguise as well, because e-commerce is set to grow. So the quicker you get good at that, the better it is for you and your business. So today we talked about two basic keys of four keys that Jason has. The first one is email marketing. Your bridge to e-commerce selling is your email list and social media following, so you can communicate with your prospects straight away. And I can't emphasize enough how jealous I am of you. If you have a massive email list of customers who have bought from you and love you and your products, or at least love you enough to give you money repeatedly, that's so powerful. I'm really jealous of that. So if you have that, fantastic. That's an amazing starting point. I exactly agree with Jason's thinking on that. The second thing is, selling in a marketplace can get you a pop of sales. But as Jason warns, you're going to need to be a bit more price sensitive. And there may be certain types of products that don't work online because they're just too competitive. So there may be some hard adjustments there. But the last point I think that Jason made is that you're used to juggling already, which is something that is that I'd overlooked really. And really true that if you're used to juggling staffing, facilities, local tax laws, etc., online's not going to be different in the sense that you're juggling lots of different things. The things that you're juggling will just be a little bit different. So in short, it's a pretty durable thing. You're probably going to find that with some help and some guidance, the right books, maybe the right mentor at the right point, that it's a very doable journey. I hope you find it is. Please do reach out to either of us if we can help. I'm the Amazon guy, I guess, if you feel that Amazon is going to be useful to you. Jason is pretty much the everything else guy. Certainly your own store is Jason's speciality. So whichever way you want to go, feel free to reach out to us if you think we can help. And don't forget to check out Jason's latest book, the simple book, E-commerce Power, how the little guys are beating the giants of e-commerce, or something along those lines. And I can't remember the exact title, but that is something we discussed recently. And that's going to be very, very helpful to you in giving you the overview of how e-commerce looks in 2021. Thanks so much for listening. That was the E-commerce Leader podcast with Michael Veazey in London, England.
and Jason Miles in Seattle, Washington.
If you liked this content, don't forget to subscribe to the show on your podcast app. For free resources, including PDFs and videos on topics like traffic, products, and sales channels, just go to www.theecommerceleader.com. No hyphens, just as it sounds. Thanks so much for listening.